Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast, show number 151. This week, so it is officially 151, and it's our second attempt at recording after Andy Franks just said a naughty word.
Well, I did, but it was after Dan Silver made quite a sweeping statement. I mean, what
a sweeping statement.
Yeah.
I mean,
are you that good at sweeping?
Bold statement, perhaps.
Bold.
Well, we were talking about being injured, weren't we, Dan? And I said it's not much fun being injured.
No,
which
it's
you
not.
Said. Especially when you're as good as I am.
Oh, wouldn't have said something like
well,
that.
No, that doesn't
fucking hell.
Given that Dan Silver's only got one working eye.
Look, leave my gammy eye out of this.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a gammy eye. We wish you well. We hope you get better.
Thanks, mate.
I thought I'd bring back a fact for 151, just for the hell of it, because I was bored this morning. So I had a look at who's number 151 in the FIFA World Rankings.
Who is it?
Right, take a guess.
England.
Elimination. Not England, not yet.
Is it a European nation?
It's not a European nation, no. It's not.
We're not going to play the game. Who's number 151?
Burkina Faso.
It's a lot better than 151. I'll answer you then. We're not going to play it. It's Vietnam. Vietnam are the 151st. They once were 84th as well, apparently. Used to be 84th back in the 90s. It's all gone wrong.
Who? I don't think I can remember a professional footballer from Vietnam.
No, but I look at their squad. They've got one player playing lower down in the French leagues. They've got a couple dotted around some quite obscure leagues, but by and large...
There was talk about getting more Asian players into the Premier League. That's a big talk, wasn't it?
Although that's specifically looking at people from sort of South Asia, so India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka. Because there are...
I'm sure there's talent.
Well, there is into the British Asian community, and they're starting to come through. I mean, Michael Chopra was the first player of British Asian descent to really burst on the scene. Obviously, he burst quite to the level that he would have liked, but...
Not bad in the North
East. Yeah, well, you know, we had his time, did all right at Cardiff. But yeah, so Vietnam, as I mentioned, the only thing notable I could find about them, they beat Qatar in Doha last month. So that bodes well for Qatar at the 2022 World Cup.
Well, that's if it's going to beat it.
Well...
Let's not that start that again.
And on their only appearance in the Asian Nations Cup, they got to the quarterfinals before losing to eventual winners, Iraq.
Where was that?
So they're not San Marino.
It was actually held jointly in Vietnam, Thailand, Cambodia, Indonesia and Malaysia, I think.
When?
Oh, when? 2007.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you know, they're not San Marino?
They're not San Marino, no, but they're not Brazil either.
Fair enough.
So they're somewhere in between Brazil and San Marino. If you think about that, that's about how good Vietnam are.
Chaps, we've had some breaking news.
We have had some breaking
news.
So
the England squad was announced at half 12. Everyone had a look?
Yes. It's an interesting one. Not as many surprises as people expected.
Should we recap for the benefit of our listeners? Are we posting this tonight?
It will be going up this afternoon, yeah. And it's not... The surprises in there aren't the surprises you would have expected. There was a lot of talk of Ravel Morrison.
Mourinho,
Luke Shaw.
Luke Shaw.
None of those made it. But three Southampton players did. One of which, Ricky Lambert, you kind of expect.
Yeah, I think Lallana deserves the call-up.
Adam Lallana and Jay Rodriguez, who's also eligible to play for Spain. So we've got him first. Yes, take that, Spain.
We haven't got a cap yet.
Wait, also, and also, if he plays for friendly, he can still play for them because it's not a competitive game.
I don't think he'll ever get the call from
really?
From Del Bosco, to be honest.
Are you sure?
No, but I mean...
I'm a bit disappointed with this squad.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm really a bit disappointed. I thought the whole idea of it was to actually blood some talent coming through. I know that there's this under-21 coming up, so there's an important qualifier for the under-21s. But, you know, this was meant to be, a chance for Hodgson to get a closer look at Ravel Morrison.
Well, I don't know if it was supposed to. I don't think it was supposed to be that. If you look back at history as well, friendlies organised at this time don't tend to be the ones used necessarily to blood the youngsters. They tend to be the ones in the March and the April before the World Cup when they've got a bit more first-team experience. So you think back to...
But Hodgson wants to get a closer look at them, especially when the players we just mentioned have actually been playing pretty good football.
They're not going to be going to Brazil, are they?
Well, how can you say that?
Some of them might, but I think the idea is...
The youngsters...
The players who broke into this squad, your Lallanas, your Rodriguez's, your Jordan Henderson's, who's back in the squad, have got more top-flight experience. Come March, when we play, I think we're playing Denmark in March, Morrison will have had a full season almost under his belt. Yep. Berinho will have. Luke Shaw. I think Luke Shaw's maybe lucky, but then you've got three left backs in there in Baines, Gibbs, and Coe.
I think Shaw's in a position where he's, you know, unfortunately. We've got. I think left back probably our wealth of talent.
Why have we got three left backs in the squad?
Well, presumably because he wants to have another look at Kieran Gibbs.
I think also, maybe,
can't really drop Baines or Ashley Cole.
Why are we looking at him? Look at what Wenger's been doing with Monreal halfway through a game. He's bringing Monreal, who is actually a fullback, but he's bringing him on as more of a defensive wing back on the left of the midfield. Now, actually, maybe Hodgson's thinking along those lines and thinking, all right, well, actually, if I want to tighten the game up...
Are you bringing Milner on?
Hold on to shape. No, because Milner's not left-footed, and actually...
Yeah, but...
You're much better off playing someone like Leighton Baines on the left of midfield.
Baines is the only option.
I think, ultimately, with Kieran Gibbs, he can't play for the under-21s anymore. Luke Shaw can. Why... If they were both still eligible for the under-21s...
Gibbs deserves the call-up on form. I mean, if anyone doesn't deserve to be in there on form, it's Ashley Cole.
He's not in then. I thought he meant Young.
But my big worry, and we've talked about this before, is the fact that you look at the centre. So we've got four centre backs there, Cahill and Jagielka, who have obviously played all of our.
Where's Michael Dawson?
Also, Dawson's not there, but also Koulka. I think Koulka, you know, on current performances at the moment, really deserves a chance.
I think the only problem for Michael Dawson is going to be A, his age, and B, his relative inexperience at international level. Because he's been playing brilliantly, but they're going to look at other options. I think with Koulka again, I think he can still play for the under-21s.
But the idea is that you're picking, supposedly, what Hodgson has said throughout, and that squad is being picked on form, in theory. That's why there's three Southampton players in there, because they're picking players
that's
on
why,
form.
That's what? Why Koulka should be there. Koulka's been brilliant recently.
Yeah. Ultimately, it's a friendly, quite far in advance of the World Cup still. There will be other opportunities, and half of this squad's going to get decimated with injuries. I mean, you've got Wilshere in there who's carrying a knock, you've got Welbeck who's carrying a knock, Carrick carrying a knock. These players are all going to be withdrawn. I would bet my bottom dollar on it, and there will be more on top of that as well after this weekend.
Is that what Carrick
did? You just say bet your bottom dollar.
Bet my bottom dollar. I've been watching a lot of 1990s wrestling. Bet my bottom dollar straight from Jim Ross.
Or Annie. Really? You've been watching the musical with the missus, haven't you?
I haven't actually. I've never seen Annie.
I haven't seen any either.
No, there's a remake coming out though with some person in it. So
with some person in it.
Some person's going to be in it. So really, probably interesting. But no, so international's coming up, but we've still got Premier League games and Football League games this weekend, we had them last weekend. Where to start? I know that a certain Ipswich supporting regular listener of ours wants to talk about Man City Norwich, which is fantastic result. How bad were Norwich?
As bad as Norwich were, you've got to praise the way that Man City have played as well.
All credit to any team that scores seven. I don't think City, you could say, are in spectacular form because...
Going forward they are,
but they're also still dropping points and still losing.
I think they're, you know, very Jekyll and Hyde. They're very strong at home, but they haven't picked the points
on
the way.
On paper, they should walk the league. And I think if they start Mancini...
Not without company, they won't.
That's the problem.
Well, agreed. But I think away from home, they've shown that, you know, if you get then you've got a chance. At the Etihad, they look almost unbeatable.
Well, I think that's been shown with a lot of the top teams this season. I think most obviously Chelsea at the weekend.
Yeah, they got them. Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
You found it funny?
I'll tell you, Johan Kabay. When they nearly qualified for the Champions League a few years ago, there were so many players, everyone was saying, oh, he's great. Tiote was linked with Arsenal and United. All these players were being really heralded, barring Cisse up front. It's done okay. Kabay is the only one who's carried that form since then and consistently been fantastic. He's such a good deliverer of the ball.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Kabay.
I love the fact Alan Pardew, you could tell he really wanted to take credit for the first goal, the header from Gouffran.
Yeah, what I want you to do is play it into the box.
I want you to put it in on someone's head and they score. And even Pardew realised he couldn't.
Mourinho was pissed off.
Wasn't he?
The 11 problems or whatever it was.
Well, he left Lampard on the bench last night, didn't he? Last night, the night before?
Against Schalke last night. Well, that wasn't really.
Well, and he dropped Luiz and.
He dropped Luiz and Mata.
And a very naughty boy.
And a very naughty boy.
In Eden Hazard, who went off on a little trip to Lille to be shown off as the returning son.
He just went to see his old chums.
On Sunday night.
He was shown off on the pitch.
So he went to watch his old chums play football.
And then might have gone out for a couple and might have missed the Euro start. He missed the train, didn't he?
Might have missed the train home. And it's not too bad if you're going to King's Cross from, you know, where fucking Waterloo, whatever it is, and it'll be one in another 5 minutes. It was quite funny, wasn't it, where seeing Mourinho's quotes. Like, I'm not gonna lie, he's not injured.
But I like the way
he's a young lad, and young lads make mistakes.
He was like, he didn't realise the time.
I think it was quite good of Mourinho to come out and rather than say, it's terrible, he just said, look, he's made a mistake. He's been dropped for it. He's been punished. He'll be back at the weekend.
To be perfectly honest,
he hasn't said whether he's starting or in the squad.
He said he'll be in the squad.
He hasn't said whether he's starting or not. But he's like that.
Someone like Hazard, you're not going to leave him out for too long, especially when your form's a little bit up and down.
Yeah.
And speaking of liking what people have come out and said, I have to say fair enough to Sasha Rita, who after a quite nasty stamp on Janice, came out and what I hate most is
eventually.
But what I hate most is, it was pretty bad, I have to say, really bad. I hate it when players come out and say, I'm sorry to the fans, I'm sorry to the club, but don't apologise to whoever they've
found. He said it was out.
He came out and the first thing he said was, I want to apologise to Adnan Januzaj, I stepped on him, it was out of line, I deserved my punishment. Fair enough, it was a horrible stamp.
I'll tell you who wasn't speaking.
Premeditated.
I'll tell you who wasn't, well, it wasn't premeditated. He didn't think before the game, I'm going to stamp on Adnan Lallana.
No, premeditated in the fact that he knew what he was doing when he did it, so he thought about it and he still fucking did it.
No, yeah, but and you can't call that premeditated. It was still a spur of the moment. Oh, there's
in
his
that
ankle.
Case, everything's premeditated.
Exactly. You can't say every.
Well, you're all guilty then. Every intentional foul.
I just slapped you in the face. It was premeditated.
You wanted to do that all day.
Yeah, I have. I've been planning that for years.
I tell you who didn't. Who wasn't honest in the media, Michael, and that was David Moyes.
David Moyes, the man with no eyebrows. What's he done now?
Well, he defended Ashley Young's fucking disgraceful dive again, and now apparently, a couple of days later, supposedly he's had a talking to behind closed doors.
I think it was one of those where you can't criticise players too often in public. Ashley Young's shirt was touched.
I'll behave. Fuck off. You know what? I'm really bored of Ashley Young. If you let me, he's a fucking cheating bastard.
Can I just say, I completely agree, and I always want United to win, but I was quite happy with Mr. Penley because it was justice. We should have won because we hit the post and Hernandez put it over when it was easy to score. But no, if you no one wants to see diving, and that's the problem. The worst thing was, Ashley Young was playing the best I've seen him play in quite a while. He'd come on in 10 minutes, he created a good few opportunities, played some good balls into the box. I think he actually beat a man at one point.
No.
I know, he's mad. And then he does that, and you just...
I'm glad he's not in the England squad, I tell you.
It's amazing how it's turned around because 2 years ago, before he joined United,
he was our big hope.
He was looking like one of the Euros, he was England's best player in 2011.
He was our big hope in the Euros.
He did really well.
Do you think it's one of those where go to a big club like United and you get arrogant, you get complacent?
No, I think there is a certain amount of that.
And he thinks he's really big,
though. I agree.
I didn't read the article, I literally saw. The link to it on Twitter as I was about to come down, but it was I'm going to read it when I get back. It was a Stephen Bertang, Kevin Prince Bertang. Sorry.
Yeah.
There was the headline was to link the article. Money got the better of me at Spurs.
Yeah.
So I didn't actually read it, so I'm guessing he's implying
that's got to be one of the strangest career turnarounds.
Oh, unbelievable!
Because he was really highly rated in Germany.
Yeah.
He had a great couple of seasons for Milan.
He was awful for Spurs. Went to Portsmouth. Yeah.
Well, because apparently he was out on the lash, just being a complete twat the entire time, and then he obviously rebuilt his career. Obviously annoying as a Spurs fan that his one little blip, but when he went silly with money, was when he was at Spurs. Yeah. But like you said, the turnaround. And I think it happens. You get put in the line. You go to a you know, you say you're only human in a way. I still don't think it's right, but I suppose, you know, you get signed for a club like Man United. You know, you're playing well for England. You suddenly think that you are the absolute bollocks.
You've got your dick out on a webcam.
Well, it was similar to
you've had your neck tattooed.
What Mourinho was saying about Eto'o at Anzhi. You get complacent in a way. It's slightly different, so it's moving to a big club, but in this sort of sense
that... Well, you won everything as well.
Well, and you get complacent, and you don't train as hard, you don't, you know, you think you're the big man.
I mean,
you're
how many players have you seen? The Brazilians are always, I mean, Anderson at United at the moment, you could level it up, but also like Svadriano down the years, Ronaldinho.
Kaká recently.
I don't think Kaká was more the nightlife, but I think he got disillusioned because he... I don't think he's
John
won
Bostock.
For the
lash. I know he wasn't.
John Bostock, another of that great Brazil side of 2002.
Massive.
I mean, well,
Jermaine Pennant is a prime example.
Well, no, Pennant's just a scumbag.
£2 million at 16 years old, he was bought
for. The ultimate one, and going back to Spurs, at the moment, the currently free agent, I'm considering putting a bid in for him on the podcast, David Bentley.
I was going to say David Bentley, yeah.
David Bentley, who had the world at his feet, like we all technically do, but he had it metaphorically.
He even put a pretty decent knock in for England as well, didn't he? And everyone
on
thought,
his debut, everyone
right
said,
around
the new Beckham.
Beckham had retired.
But that's the problem. That's the problem. So people have gone, the new Beckham. And his little ears have pricked up and gone, be the fucking new Beckham, aren't I? And he's like, you've... And he's
already
a joker,
got the game
and he's,
goatee and all, I mean...
It was... anyway...
But
Ashley Young's a twat.
Back to the weekend.
Yeah.
Did anyone watch the Arsenal Liverpool game?
I saw the highlights. I was at a fireworks display at Hatfield House.
I was already drunk
by this point.
I watched it sober
because I had gone to watch the Egg Chasers first.
What a game that was! By
beating our friends over in Australia. Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah. So I was pretty pissed by the time we got back to the flat and put that on and carried on drinking with about 8 of us. So I was kind of watching it in and out, but didn't really...
Well, from being the only person who watched it sober then, I'd say
I
that...
I was sober, I just only saw... Well, no, actually, I wasn't sober when I saw the highlights. Sober during the game.
First time that I've seen Suarez and Sturridge...
struggle?
They didn't struggle, and actually, on another day, it could have been... Liverpool could have had a point out of the game, but they were limited to chances... Fair play to Arsenal. I think
cracking goal by Ramsey.
On the cracking goal by Ramsey, really, really good. But on the merit of how both teams played.
The follow-up to hitting the post. Yeah. The header that hit the post, the follow-up, that was a fucking good goal.
But what I really did enjoy was seeing two teams up the top trying to win a game. And I've had enough of watching United and Chelsea. I don't want to watch them play any team.
Chelsea
are
fucking shit. Chelsea are shit, and the way they play football is fucking infuriating.
I have to say, to Brendan Rodgers and his Liverpool team, fair fucking play. You've gone out there and, you know, you've carried on trying to play the game that
you think about the turnaround from the Liverpool team under Julian Benitez that was famously turgid.
No, absolutely. And I'd like to sort of say the same thing in the sense of the Spurs and Everton. Right, and as much as it was a 0-0, and Mike, you said you thought it was a shit 0-0.
Both tried to win the game.
I didn't think it was a shit 0-0, I wasn't enamoured with it.
I mean, the first half, it just goes to show that you know, we are still... Eriksen's obviously not bedded in quite properly yet, and we need to get him on form, because that still link between midfield and attack is a nightmare. Because the first half...
How many goals you scored in the league? 10 games, less goals than games.
Yeah.
4.
But we're still up there.
You are up there because you're keeping clean sheets.
Yeah, and which is unlike Spurs.
Well,
the record's unbelievable.
That,
but hang on, I haven't finished yet. The fact that both teams were going for it actually made it really entertaining. You know, I tweeted about it as it happened, and the one thing I didn't like ABB doing was taking off Sandra after 60 minutes.
Yeah.
We took off Sandra, who'd been an absolute monster, breaking everything up and let them have nothing, and they brought on Barkley at the same time, so we've lost our cover and they've brought on their attack and it turned the game around.
The other player that had a good game was, I thought Gareth Barry was really good and
solid. Vertonghen was different.
Gareth Barry's really solid.
At his level, he struggled at City because I don't think he's quite good enough to step up that level. Everton, he's a good footballer. I mean,
we had a really good game against City the other day.
But City play at City attack at a lot greater pace than Everton do. So, and he struggles to keep up with that pace. We'll touch on quickly on Spurs.
Luke Harper is a handful though, isn't he? Fucking
shit.
When you watch a game over 90 minutes,
Dawson and Kiraquez kept him very quiet.
He was a leg for Hugo Lloris.
Yeah, well, that's
still a hand. Physically,
yeah, yeah. But I was really impressed how quiet Dawson and Kiraquez kept him.
Yeah.
But yes, Hugo Lloris. I said it at the time, and I still stand by it right now. I felt really uncomfortable watching that. And I was like, okay, thank God he's going off. He's going off, thank God he's going off. And he's like, no way, he's coming back on.
Yeah.
No,
and actually, AVB is one of my naughty boys of the week for leaving him on the pitch.
No,
you've got freedom to come on.
I mean,
take him off.
I can understand that he kind of needs to defend himself now. And it works out, luckily, that he's absolutely fine and fine to play tonight if he needs to. But it was a gamble at the time. He's saying that the club doctors, you know, these club doctors that 2 years ago saved a man's life, right? They're pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
There, he's saying that they looked at him, they assessed him, and he seemed all right. I don't believe
it. Wasn't it not the case that they said he should come off and he said he was okay to continue?
No, because he's now saying that the doctors said that he was absolutely fine.
Also,
a head injury, it's not worth the risk. Cause
you shouldn't leave that decision to the player anyway.
No,
really.
But it wasn't. It was out the medical staff said he's all right to carry on.
You'd still think if they've had a knock to the head, they're not going to be 100%, even if they're 90%.
Tell you what, when that was slowed down in slow motion.
Awful.
To be fair,
you can't blame the coffee for it.
No, not at all.
No way. Don't even go there.
Put it this way, my dad, who's an Evertonian, was absolutely furious that there was a booking because I don't think there was a foul. He was going. They're both going for the ball. Goalkeeper.
No.
He had no
you
idea
say there wasn't a foul. There clearly was a foul. He kneed him in the head. Whether it was intentional or not, it's still a foul.
I don't know if it's a
no
foul.
Intent.
What do you mean? Kneeing someone in the head
is
not a foul.
I would say that's 100% accidental.
It wasn't like clinging.
But
it's
still you can be standing there and someone, you know, turns, but because they've turned you quickly, they've tripped over your leg because you haven't got out and pulled out the way in time. That's still a foul. It's still a foul. Either way, it's still a foul. The guy kneed him in the head, whether it was accidental or not. You still.
Well, it all comes down to where you're moving as well, because the goalkeeper was moving into Lukaku. It wasn't Lukaku moving into him.
Well, yeah, of course it was.
Well, it was them both moving into each other, sorry.
I think it's quite a good moment. On the subject of what's deemed a foul, off the ball incidents, things like that, fair play to Greg Dyke this week.
Yeah, but
fair play.
On that note,
I want to talk about that.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm surprised that. Mind blank. Soldado. I'm surprised that Soldado's got away with that.
Got away with what?
Elbowing.
Oh, he had a little.
No, but he did.
Right. So.
He elbowed him in the ribs.
I
thought he was actually going to get pulled up for it, and he hasn't.
Well, so one of the things that Greg Dyke has now gone and achieved since taking over as chairman of the FA. So after the Fernando Torres incident, scratching at the face on Vertonghen. So after declaring the existing, so this is a statement from the FA.
I can tell you this without you reading it out.
The rules clearly weren't changed enough in the wake of the Torres letter. The new rule is that any acts of violent conduct which take place secondarily to a challenge for the ball but are missed by officials will now be subject to disciplinary action. We've not waited until the end of the season. It'll be in place after the friendly.
I'm sorry, but is that not the same as already? It was a case that if it wasn't mentioned in the referee's match report.
Even if the referee or the linesman say they thought they saw something but didn't see the whole incident, it can be. There's a panel of three independent ex-referees or referees.
Well, so the thing is that where off the ball incidents are concerned, the policy adjustment will allow action to be taken where an act of misconduct could not have been seen by the match officials, even though they may have seen some part of the players.
I'm sorry, on this article you printed out, there's a picture of Reetha stamping on
Yannick.
That's got to be the worst pun ever for the tagline, which is cottage by.
It's pretty shit.
That's terrible.
Actually, where was that from?
It looks like it was from the Mirror.
Yeah, it was actually off Mirror Football, yeah.
Oh, it's great pun. Really cleverly done.
But anyway, look, I do think they're trying to stamp out problems.
But I'm just on the Premier League, one last note on it.
You should have just been silent for a second then out of disrespect for that horrendous pun.
I quite enjoyed it.
I thought it was terrible. But on the subject of the Premier League, we were talking about last week how there were 3 points between first and ninth in League Two. It's getting like that in the Premier League now. Second to eighth is 3 points.
Yeah.
And for the terrible start that United have had, the fact they're only 3 points behind Chelsea, Liverpool and Spurs suggest it's going to be a very interesting
season.
What
do you mean they're only 3 points behind?
And they're 8 points off of Arsenal.
Arsenal are clear away.
And you need to measure yourselves off the top spot. You are the defending champions.
No, I understand this. What I am saying, though, is
You're trying to make yourself feel better.
Oh no, of course I am. It's been a rotten season.
I'm not going
to
let you.
But I'm sorry, but if United win at the weekend and Tottenham lose, then we're above you.
It's not going to happen.
It could well happen.
Can I ask
who are you playing this weekend?
Newcastle at home.
Could well happen.
Won't happen.
I doubt it, but it could.
Won't happen.
Arsenal are now one result away this weekend from really making a statement about their title credentials.
Yeah, but I don't think they will.
Did you think they were going to beat Liverpool?
This is my point. I was chatting to them about this someone the other day who's an Arsenal fan. And he said they can see they're playing well. They did well to turn over Liverpool at the Emirates, but that's where they're playing really fucking well anyway, so let's not.
Away form's better than their home form, but anyway.
The football they're playing is a hell of a lot better. They're playing some. The games they've played, like the beautiful football in, has been the home games. There was always a chance that they were going to go away and get and nick a victory at Dortmund, because we said the same thing about Bayern.
I didn't see
a lot of it, but they were going to say the same thing about Bayern last year, and that's why they said, he said as well, this has come from an Arsenal, through and through Arsenal fan, after great results against Liverpool. This is yesterday as well, sorry. I reckon we might maybe sneak a cheeky little win at Dortmund. We will lose to Man United at the weekend.
And to be fair, Dortmund should have won that game. They had.
But you say that, they didn't really create that many chances.
No, they didn't.
First half, I saw more the first half than the second half, when they created a few. There was a 10 minute spell.
And actually, just before Arsenal scored the first goal, Dortmund should have been 1-0 up. But as soon as Arsenal did score, the rest of the game was theirs.
Dortmund started chasing the game. I'm getting a bit sick of him. He's been too hipster for me.
I just quite like that. I love his analogies.
I've got some quotes from him.
I love it.
So
more like an orchestra, whereas I like heavy metal.
It's been well documented that he's got an awful lot to say, and everything he's got to say is actually quite fucking funny.
It's funny. So, that's what I mean. That's what I quite like.
Here's a pick of some. His top of the clocks. So this is speaking about his wife before the Champions League final at Wembley. He said she wrote a book for children. It's like Harry Potter, but it's about football. There's no Harry Potter flying on his fucking stick. It's just football. Then on talking about facing Bayern Munich in the final last year of the Champions League, he said we have bows and arrows, and when we aim precisely, we can hit the target. It's only that Bayern have a bazooka.
Fair enough.
This is my favourite one. Mkhitaryan, is that how you pronounce his name?
Henrik
Mkhitaryan.
Who will only Mitchie, yeah.
Mitchie fits us like an arse in a bucket. What he offers is exactly what we need.
Nice.
Brilliant. The one that you'll like, being a United
fan. How many have you got?
Yeah, this is good.
I've heard the Kagawa ones before. He talked about how he was crying, fucking tits.
I think he's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah. Can I just point out, I've noticed on the league table, Man City have scored 20 goals in 5 games at home in the Premier League.
Bloody hell.
That's fucking insane. Looking down, 12 came
in 2 games.
Which?
The 5 and 7.
And 4 against United as well.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So they've got probably 2 other 1-0 wins or something. I can't do the quick math. Oh no, 2 other 2-0 wins. There we go. I can do the quick maths. Fantastic. Looking down leagues, well done to Sheffield Wednesday. Their first win of the season. And they're out of the relegation zone. That's mad.
And they won.
Game and they're out of the relegation zone, because they've been drawing.
And they won 5-2.
They didn't just win. 5-2 against Reading. Emphatically beat Reading. Yeah. Fantastic. So now
that sounds like a description from Championship Manager 97-98. An abysmal performance.
I have to say though, the way that if Wednesday can actually kick on and Sheffield United continue to lose, you could actually be looking at Sheffield Derby in League One next year.
If Sheffield Wednesday keeps struggling.
It would be quite funny.
Or you could be looking at Sheffield United, who were in the relegation zone, being in League Two.
Very true.
So, you know.
Can we give a shout out to Bristol City?
We did it last week.
No, but they've done really well now. They're unbeaten in three. They've got 7 points in nine from possible nine, and now they're out of the relegation as well.
Oh, fantastic.
So literally, they've beaten Carlisle away, drew 1-1 with Holden, and on Tuesday night they beat Crawley.
Fantastic.
So really kicking on. A team that was doing really badly.
Crawley, for a team that everyone spoke about, they had a bit of a meteoric rise through the leagues with their money bags owner. They haven't kicked on like people thought.
I'm glad though.
Seemingly beached out. I can't. You can never begrudge a club like that getting some money because it's boys' own stuff for the fans. But yeah, you don't really want.
They're
to
not
be
doing
successful.
Very well.
They're well mid-table, aren't they? So fair enough. I mean, one I did see from the lower leagues, which was on the BBC website. The only thing Billingham have been famous for before was that it was the first club of Gary Pallister. They play in the Northern. They play in the Northern League, but not the Northern Premier League. They play to like the 10th or 11th tier of English football.
So you're not talking about the Skrill or anything like that?
Not the Skrill and not the league below that. They play in the regional North East League below that. They lost 14-0.
No, wow. You guys, I was going to say, yeah.
14-0.
There's a background to this.
There's a background.
It was in the Durham Challenge Cup.
It was. Big tournament. I used to live in Durham. Everyone's talking about it.
The reason can I just point out, managerless Billingham Town.
Well, at least there's no one to blame for it.
Managerless Billingham Town.
Apart from the players.
Who could only field seven players.
Oh.
The minimum requirement for a game to be played, two of which were injured.
Yeah.
And they managed it, and they lost 14-0.
To be fair,
to only concede 14 with seven
players on five actual fit players.
Yeah, it's actually fucking bad. Ridiculous. But they did it to avoid the fine of not being able to field a team, and they apologised to.
Don't you go down a league as well? If you don't field a team, you go down a league.
Well,
automatically.
At least one league. The likelihood is they would be kicked out of the Northern Counties Football League, and therefore they could be demoted to two or three divisions, or more likely to exist.
They wholeheartedly apologised to Stockton Town because they knew it'd be a waste of time.
I wonder what their formation was.
I think it might.
I think they had
1-6.
Yeah.
1-6. It's a shame to see some of that. It is a shame.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's a shame. Not a shame to see. Alexandra Milovovic.
I always like to see him.
Alexandra.
Oh, go on. I thought you said Alexander.
No, Alexandra Milovovic. Milojevic. Yeah. It was brilliant. Novi Pazar and Mpregrex one-all draw.
That's always a tight game as well.
It was a tight game. Unfortunately, there was quite a bit of time during the game where the cameraman was not really focusing on the game. Instead, he was focusing a lot of his camera work on Alexandra Milovievich.
Is she a looker?
She was a lino. And she was just basically, she was pretty attractive. And there was a good few minute clip of just watching her running up and down the line, pulling her socks up.
What angle was he shooting?
Slightly behind. Not directly behind, but slightly behind. It's had over a million views in a week on YouTube.
Make that a million and one when we get back after lunch. Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Just clearly a dull game. And thought, I'm just going to just check out the hot
lino. Speaking of pretty girls, I've got two. The first one is...
Got one pretty. I know. Sorry, that's
I do.
Fair.
I'm getting married.
Yeah,
that was a lovely girl.
That was mean. Sorry. Sorry.
Beautiful girl in her own way. She is. She's a beautiful girl. First one, just quickly, is that a mate of ours from work, a lad called Chris, went to school with Harold Webb's wife, and apparently she's really fit.
Chris Cassidy.
He lives down the road from where he grew up in Rotherham.
Speaking of really fit,
is it Rosanna Davison who we spoke about last week?
No, it's not.
No, well,
I think
you remember
mine's better.
We'll talk about this quick, and it's still a fit girl, so you can still lean into it, and it'll still be good, it'll still work. Rosanna Davison, who is actually Christopher's daughter, the one we spoke about, is working for Liverpool TV.
Yes.
Turns out she's a bit of a naughty girl.
Brilliant.
Because not only has she worked for Sun recently, who obviously has been popular with Liverpool, but she did a photo shoot talking about her love of Manchester United in a Manchester United kit earlier this season.
Bloody hell.
She testifies to being a lifelong Liverpool fan. Bit of a naughty girl. I think they'll forgive her.
Bit of a faux pas.
Bit of a faux pas. But she is a fit girl. Has anyone else got anything to say about fit girl?
What was your tenuous link, Dan?
Still, I think a timeless classic, I'd say. I still would as well. Ulrika, Johnson.
She's football crazy, she's football mad. I can't think of a footballer Ulrika hasn't shagged, as Bob Morton used to think.
Right. Have you seen her hit back at Sven's autobiography that's come out?
He doesn't sound like much of a lovemaker, does he?
Have you seen that Sven said he
could knock out Fergie?
This is a direct quote from Ulrika. Sex with Sven was as ordered and functional as an IKEA instruction manual. It was devoid of passion. Putting together a Billy bookcase would probably have left me more satisfied.
Hey, you've got to have somewhere to keep your books, Ulrika.
I love that. Because he's talking some shit in his autobiography, isn't he?
He talks shit all the time.
Yeah.
So what's his contract he's meant to have signed? I haven't really read about it.
Because he was lined up to replace Fergie when he was going to retire in 2002. And he's claiming, this is quite good because I can link this to something else, he's claiming that he signed a contract to replace him after the 2002 World Cup, but then Fergie did a U-turn, so it never
happened. Wasn't that around the time that Martin O'Neill was meant to be getting a job as well?
Was that a breach of contract?
Well, no, Ericsson was the hotly tipped one, and apparently the FA knew about it. Can you imagine the storm, though, the England manager had moved to Manchester United? Yeah. I mean, that would mean. But speaking of contracts, Roy Keane has signed one with Ireland this week.
Yes.
We'll talk about that. But also,
him and Martin O'Neill?
If you've got a spare £2,000 spent, Roy Keane's first contract from his days at Manchester United is available on eBay. First contract he ever signed. It's a bit of memorabilia, isn't it? A bit of details.
How only for him or Man United?
Well, the chap who's selling it, who says he can't prove it's authentic, only that he was doing work for the PFA on documents, they were throwing it out, so he kept it. He's got it signed by Martin Edwards, Alex Ferguson, Roy Keane, obviously, because it's a contract. A few of the details in there.
Ooh, deets.
He was getting an annual salary of $250,000. Signing 20, on for
25 grand, isn't it?
I think that's incorrect because that would have been very low.
Back in 90?
Yeah, well, put it
25
this,
grand sounds
25
about right.
grand would not have been right.
His first contract?
In 1993, they would have been earning.
They weren't on $250,000, mate.
A year. That's a year.
Right, okay.
No, an annual wage. That means over the year. He won't have only been earning 25 grand. My dad was earning.
I hope he was.
He got signing on fee of $400,000. He was getting a bonus of 25 grand if United finished in the top four.
It's a tie,
100 grand if they won the title. £125 per point, which I think is quite nice. But the guy who's put it on there says if Roy Keane phones him up, he will just give it back to him free of charge.
Yeah, you would.
But Roy Keane and Martin O'Neill, as our good friend Northern Cravat Nick from Bolton.
How is Northern Nick?
He's all right. I haven't spoken to him for a while. But he described the new Irish management team as hilarious.
You say Martin O'Neill says it's going to be bad cop and really bad cop.
I think it could be one
scary
of those.
Scary fucking cop.
It could be one of those that is either fantastic or absolutely atrocious.
No, I think it's going to be atrocious.
But I think
Roy Keane is. Did he see what? I think one of the quotes
when he said,
"I might not seem very happy, but I'm ecstatic
about
the position."
Oh no, he said that on ITV.
I know.
I
might not look very happy. You never. What the fuck is it? He's just
imagine buying him a Christmas present and trying to gauge if he likes it or not. It'd be fucking difficult, wouldn't it?
I should just nick my phone for a second then.
But but the thing is, Keane, when he was at Sunderland, he had a galvanising effect for a season, and then it all went pear-shaped.
He's got a bit of a Di Canio sort of aura about him, isn't he?
He's still a national hero in Ireland to the majority of fans. I know there are a lot who think he's a twat. Like United fans, a lot think he's a twat, but most think he's a hero.
It's interesting that Beckham still comes out and says he's definitely the best captain he's ever played
under. Well, I think he is, but at the same time, he's going to upset people. Like Aidan McGeady, the quote from
Aidan McGeady, I think you mean.
Aidan McGeady. Aidan McGeady came out.
Who's Aidan McGeady?
He's the Ireland winger who plays for Spartak Moscow.
Aidan
McGeady.
There we go.
He came out and said that because Roy Keane had been criticising his commitment, and he came out and said Roy Keane talks a lot of shit. He's obviously one of Ireland's star players. How's that going to work in the chamber? I mean,
to be honest, I honestly think it's going to end in tears. Speaking of tears...
Oh, here we go.
I think I was going to go on to Beckham, but I missed that. Go on.
Did you see Gareth Bale actually make someone cry at the weekend?
Saw him play pretty well.
I saw him make a lot of people cry in August when he moved to Real Madrid.
No, no one cried.
No, you should.
There was a flood on the Seven Sisters Road, wasn't there?
Well, it's just silly. I didn't cry. I'm always pretty positive about it, wasn't I? It's fucking stupid. Anyway,
Roy Keane trying to convince us that he's pleased with his new...
No, I would have been a lot angrier if it was Roy Keane. Rayo Vallecano defender, Anats Abila. Was actually...
Don't quote us on the pronunciation.
Was substituted after playing up against Gareth Bale, and it's brilliant. There's a video clip as he's getting onto the bench.
He's crying his eyes
out, and then he grabs his training jacket and puts it over his head to actually stop anyone seeing him cry.
Oh, bless him.
Literally got reduced to tears
from facing
Gareth Bale. It's fucking hilarious.
Speaking of reduced to tears...
Oh, hello.
Go on.
I'll carry on with that as well.
I'm going to assume that Dean Holdsworth. Do you remember Dean Holdsworth?
Yes.
I'm going to assume he was reduced to tears because he's been sacked by Chelmsford City.
You know he's in Brentford's Hall of Fame, Dean Holdsworth.
Well, he's going to have to hold on to that because he's not going to win anything as a manager by the time of it. He took over in January, 15 games in charge, 9 defeats. Oh, he's been sacked.
It's a bad record. Speaking of tears, must be starting to appear on every single AC Milan fan's face. Have you seen how bad they're playing?
No.
They're not doing
well. They've played 11, they've only won 3, they've drawn 3, and they've lost 5. They've got 12 points and they're in 11th place.
That must be, can you imagine supporting a team apparently, used to success that are now reduced to playing in the mid table?
Anyway, look, apparently the coach has only got 2 games to turn it around. They are playing Chievo away on Sunday. Chievo are bottom of the league. You'd expect Milan to get a result. If they don't, it wouldn't be surprising if.
I don't know.
I can't remember his name either.
I think it's Dave Bassett.
And then after the friendlies, they're at home against Genoa, who are 8th in the league and above them. So, AC Milan fans, good luck.
I really like...
They're a big club.
No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
massive club.
A big club's a bit of an understatement. They're one of the biggest clubs in the world, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. To be performing that badly. And they've still got players like Rubinho,
Balotelli.
You shouldn't be performing like that, should you?
A club that isn't one of the biggest clubs in the world is third division club Madureira. I really need to... Madureira. We'll go with that. Based in Rio. They've released a new kit to commemorate their successful tour of Cuba in 1963, which they're hoping to do again next year.
They were supporting the Beatles, weren't they?
Great tour. But they've released a new kit which has Che Guevara's face on it. And it looks fucking cool. They've already sold 3,000 shirts. They now can't make enough shirts to keep up with the demand, because obviously being an iconic figure, anyway. But they originally had it on their seven-a-side kit, because they've got a seven-a-side team as well, but now they've introduced it to the first team.
It's going to be a collectible, isn't it?
It will be, without a doubt. I really want one. It looks really cool.
And I'm sure they'll sell a lot. Yeah. And in 10 years, they'll be the new Paris Saint-Germain. A few other little notes, we'll have another hot update in a minute. A few other, Brooklyn Beckham had a trial at United, that's not going to end in a circus at all, is it?
No. Nope.
Ridiculous. All the best to Joe Thompson of Tranmere, who at 24 has been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Whoa.
Fingers crossed he is back and playing and fit very soon. Happy birthday to John Barnes, he turns 50 today.
Happy birthday, John.
And if you're bored tonight, you can always tune into MUTV. Wow, and I love the ideas. There's an audience with Louis Sahar, which makes me think of those ITV 1990s, an audience with Elton John.
MUTV is seriously struggling.
I hope there's a few musical numbers in there, you get a few comedy skits, maybe he'll do a bit of talking about storied career. And I will say Dean Perry, who's actually wrote a very nice comment about the struggles going on at Birmingham and bad club ownership. We will talk about that next week because I think it's a subject that deserves a fair amount of time, which we're not going to rush through today.
Yeah. And do you know who doesn't deserve a lot of time?
Oh, who?
Fucking Melbourne Heart.
Oh, Melbourne Heart deserve all our time.
Not at the moment they don't. They lost 3-0 away to an injury hit Brisbane Roar. They didn't.
First win, aren't they?
Well, they're rock bottom of the table. Chris Ellis. Oh, it's our old MD.
Anyway, we were talking about the heart.
All right, yeah,
more important.
Yeah, lost 3-0 away.
I think a lot of people want to hear about Chris Alex.
Apparently, you know? apparently, they didn't look like a team that haven't won away since 2011. Well, New Year's Eve 2011, so...
Yeah. Is it that bad, the away form?
Yeah, it's been terrible. But they did come out swinging. They had the best chance of the game in the 6th minute, could have gone 1-0 up.
Apart from the three that went in.
What?
They were presumably better chances, the three Brisbane Roar chances that were actually
if you're listening to what
scored,
I was saying...
You said they had the best chance of the game.
No, you said that they came out trying to score.
Shut up, Mike.
Well, yeah.
No!
You said they had the best chance of the game. The ones that went in are surely better chances.
Their best chance of the game.
Oh, their best. Oh, right, I get you.
Shut up, Mike!
I love annoying him.
Anyway... Henrique was a star for Brisbane with a brace.
Did it show on Friday too?
They've got Western Sydney Wanderers tomorrow. Do you not care about this moment, Hart?
I do.
Are you going to take this away from Australian fans?
Well, no.
No, you're not, are you?
Not
shut
after
up.
The rugby. They've had enough taken away from us.
So they've got joint bottom at the moment on 2 points, which is pretty shocking. They're massively missing Harry Kuehl, who's out injured again with another ankle injury
for
a few weeks.
It's unlike him to be on the old physio bench,
well,
isn't it?
Considering he hardly played 18 months before he joined Hart, but there you go. It's a big game tomorrow. It's Western Sydney Wanderers, and I am. It's always my favourite because it's a Friday night. It's a Friday night game in
Australia.
It's an Australia. It's definitely in Australia. but it's a Friday night game in Australia, which means that it's on about 9 o'clock in the morning when we get into work, so we can cheeky little basically going to watch
it
at work.
I don't do that.
It's illegal.
How is that seat outside the managing director's office,
mate? Don't you worry.
With your back to him.
Yeah, those little windows.
That's right. He'll be hammered after tonight. Anyway,
absolutely fine. Yeah, anyway, go on the heart. Turn it around. Western Sydney, obviously on a great form. Let's turn it around and let's start the campaign.
Rise.
Thanks for not doing that in an Australian accent.
Well, there's been so many calls for it to return, and I think they really haven't.
They really have.
But I think, like the game shows, it's going to be one that we have to use sparingly.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil our listeners, do I?
But anyway, that's about it for this week. You know the normal score. Email us banterfootballpodcast.co.uk. We're on facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. Visit us footballpodcast.co.uk. Follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast. We shall be back next week for more fun and frivolity. I really need a slash, so goodbye.
I need a piss.
That's a really nice way to end the show.
Yeah.